There's an old French proverb that states, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Human beings don't change a whole heck of a lot over the centuries. And as it was in the first century after Pentecost, in the days of the early church, as the Acts of the Apostles tells us, the word of God continued to spread and the number of the disciples increased greatly. Even a large group of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Of course, they're speaking of the Jewish priest in Jerusalem at that time, but for today, it should still be the same. But the word of God must continue to spread. The number of disciples must increase greatly, day by day. And even priests and bishops must become more and more obedient to the faith of Jesus Christ and transmit that faith to those entrusted to their care. The homily is going to kind of go back and forth, but essentially the message today is about the fact that we've been given new life in Christ and that we, the church, clergy and laity together, have a responsibility of doing exactly this, in spreading the word of God and taking care of those to whom the word has been spread. The great message of Easter, of course, Easter season, is the mercy of God, the forgiveness of sin, the imparting of grace to raise us up to a new and eternal life in Christ that is a life of holiness that is unconquered by death, and at the same time, our own victory over death for ourselves. I've officiated at about eight funeral masses since Easter time. In fact, two of them just this past week. And it brought something to mind. You've heard me speak often and truthfully about the dignity and the sanctity of the lay vocation, which all of you share, and how each of us, clergy and laity alike, serve God and serve one another in our respective callings. And I thought about those who serve as funeral directors and embalmers. As we know, one of the corporal works of mercy in the church is to bury the dead, and to do so prayerfully and respectfully, since the human body is something sacred. The church has always believed that. After all, our bodies have been designed and created by God himself, as Genesis tells us, male and female, each with its own functions and faculties. And know that the primary faculty that God gave to Adam and Eve was to conceive and to give birth to new human life, life made in God's own image. This is commanded by God himself to our first parents in Genesis. As important as the human person is, the body of a baptized believer, and most certainly one who is not only baptized but also confirmed, has received the Eucharist, and one who is ordained, has an even greater nobility, because that body has been made a temple wherein the Holy Spirit dwells and acts, making present the sacred image of the Father and the Son in our very souls. The soul and the body, along with the mind, all work together to know, to understand, to choose, and put into practice God's holy will and his commands. It's always to do what is good, to do what is true, and to do what is righteous and just. When the human body expires, as it must, due to the effects of original sin, with which we're all born, St. Paul tells us that after death, each of us will be judged by God, according to the things that we have done with and while in our bodies, body and soul working together, but the soul acting through the body. Therefore, if our souls reflect the image of Jesus Christ in us and are filled with grace due to our faith and our acts, then of course we're saved forever. If, however, the image of Christ is not to be found within our souls, and instead we're filled with the filth and degradation of unrepentant sin due to our lack of faith and our wayward acts, well, then we're lost in hell, and that's forever too. Now, the undertaker prepares the bodies of the dead for their families, gives them time to be with the remains of the deceased, to mourn and to pray, and the funeral director also assists with arrangements to bury the deceased with proper services, such as a funeral mass. In all this, the funeral director does a good and noble thing, reverently and respectfully handling the burial of the human body, and gives invaluable consolation and assistance to the deceased family and friends. Priests and deacons, on the other hand, prepare the souls of the dying to meet God. And we do this not just at the point of death, but throughout our lives. We're preparing you to do exactly that, to meet God face to face. And we do this with the church's prayers and sacraments, our personal care for you, preaching the gospel to all of you and your families. Our main duty as clergy is to reconcile sinners and commend their souls to God, and to give them and their families God's mercy and peace at the time of death. But all of us know that as Christians, we are called to care for one another all through life and through death, not simply out of obligation or for reward, but because this is what we do. This is our calling. Christ did it, and so must we, to care for one another through life and through death, according to the gospel. The first reading from Acts tells us that the apostles called forth deacons, 7 men of good repute, on whose heads the apostles laid their hands and called down the Holy Spirit to ordain them as helpers to themselves in the ministry. The apostles continued the work of Jesus, preaching, teaching, healing, and celebrating the Eucharist, and the deacons were serving the temporal, that is, the physical needs of the poor. Deacons today continue that. Their service is not only to the bishops as successors to the apostles, but also to us priests, who share in the apostolic ministry alongside our bishops. Deacons bring the Eucharist to the sick, to the homebound. They pray with families of the sick and at wakes, at the funeral homes. They administer the church's service to the poor, and also in special ministry to, say, the disabled or to immigrants. They assist with baptisms, weddings, and funerals. They assist the priest at Mass, proclaiming the gospel, sometimes preaching. And they help to distribute the Lord's body and blood at Mass. And all of this, they give an example of diakonia. Diakonia is the Greek word from which deacon is derived. Diakonia meaning service. Service to the body of Christ, again, to which not just deacons, but all of us as the body of Christ are called. The body of Christ serving the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we see the service of Jesus not only in the miracles he performs, but we heard him tell us today in the gospel that he precedes us into heaven to prepare something, to prepare a place for you and me to be with him in the eternal kingdom. Before that, he does something great. He prepares a place in our hearts for his love. He prepares a place in our minds for his word. He prepares a place in our souls for his presence. As Jesus tells us, whoever believes in me, he says, will do the works that I do, and greater ones than these. In the sacraments and in service, the church of God has been given power to human beings. God himself has given to his church, made up of human beings, the power to sanctify our brothers and sisters and to prepare others for life with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit here in this world and in the next. This is why St. Peter tells us that we are a chosen race, not a physical race, but a spiritual race of Christians who bear the image of Jesus. We are a royal priesthood, he tells us, a holy nation, a people of his own choosing, handpicked by him to announce his praises as witnesses to the gospel, proclaiming the good news of salvation, the praises of him who calls us from darkness to light, to be lights shining in the darkness, to bring others out of darkness into the light of Christ, ourselves always living in that light, the light of Christ, who alone is the way, the truth, and life itself.